This is Talk for Food. Your portal into quantum possibility. I'm Adam Abraham. Each week, I'll be your guide on this expedition, where we'll explore the near and far reaches of this thing called life on Earth and beyond. Talk for Food is brought to you by Global Light Network, who bring you products for conscious living, Nature's Body Beautiful, the original clay cosmeceutical company and home of Therapeutic Living Clay, and Philos Books, whose titles for the mind and heart reflect a passion for humanity. Hello again, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Talk for Food here on WebTalkRadio.net. If you haven't listened before, I'm Adam Abraham, your host. And if you do know who I am, I really thank you because it means you probably have listened before and you've tuned in again. That's really a good sign. I have started and stopped and started and stopped in figuring out how to begin this show. My guest today and my show today is a conversation I had with an author, Jim Humble. You may never have heard of him before, but if I have my druthers, you're going to hear about him and the world is going to hear about him. Jim Humble is a gold miner, metallurgist, and chemist who has developed a protocol for removing poisons from our body. Now, you may think or may not think that it really has any application to you, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that, you're wrong. But a lot of people know that toxins, poisons, parasites, viruses, heavy metals are something that we are all exposed to. And in fact, our health is impacted by it daily. And the increase in incidences of cancer and diabetes and heart disease all are evidence that this is really a fact. And yet, we are raising billions and billions of dollars to look for cures for this disease and that disease. And what is remarkable about what Jim Humble has done is that he's developed a procedure using simple and very verifiable chemistry, chemical principles to introduce a powerful pathogen killer into our body that, first of all, is effective. Secondly, leaves no toxic residue, meaning it's safe. There are no unsafe effects of this procedure. And thirdly, it's inexpensive. Wow, what a concept. It's just as well because your medical insurance wouldn't pay for it if it wasn't. He wrote a book called Breakthrough, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century. So when we come back, we're going to discuss Jim Humble's discovery. And as you listen, you're going to decide what it means to you. Here on WebTalkRadio.net. I'm Adam Abraham. Please stay tuned. On his radio show, Parker's Pathways, Dr. Wynn Parker gives this diagnosis of transdermal magnesium therapy, written by Mark Serkis and published by Philos Books.
I was impressed with nutrients that were depleted from antibiotics. I was impressed with the transdermal concept of bypassing the liver. I was impressed with magnesium increase efficiency of the white blood cells. You have the best chart of diseases that I've seen. You have an explanation of glutathione, which I think is expertly put to the public. The MDMA receptor on glutamic acid is infecting moods in the brain. And then the ALA chelators
Your power to maintain and restore well-being is enhanced when you know what magnesium naturally does for you and the wide-ranging consequences of deficiency. In addition, Dr. Serkis introduces a simple but elegant way to replenish the body's stores of Mother Nature's catalyst for health. Order your copy of Transdermal Magnesium Therapy today at Amazon.com and find bookstores everywhere. Welcome back to Talk for Food here on WebTalkRadio.net. Brace yourself, because we're going to stream some powerful ideas into your mind and into your consciousness. MMS, the miracle mineral supplement. Is it a miracle? No. Is it a mineral supplement? No, not really. But what it does will sure seem like a miracle. What it is a way to introduce chlorine dioxide, the most effective and powerful pathogen killer known to man, into your body. It was necessity. Necessity became the mother of this development for Jim Humble. While in the jungles of Central America, one of his men came down with malaria, a disease that kills 500 million people a year. Humble's research and journey eventually led him to Africa, where he helped over 75,000 people rid themselves of some of the most vexing diseases known to man, including malaria, cancer, hepatitis, and AIDS. Now, let's begin the journey. To help people get a sense of what MMS and chlorine dioxide can do for them, how they can best use it, and what they can do with it. Give them ideas on what it could be effective on and why. If we can do that, we'll help a lot of people add the pieces together for themselves. You know, we're all walking around with pathogens, known and unknown, in our bodies. So it certainly is going to be helpful whether I'm trying to do something specific or not. But it's also good in this case to actually have some experience with it. I think that's probably the place to start. Your first seeing this, the potential of this, had to do with malaria. Is that correct?
That's right. I was in the jungle, and some of my men caught malaria, and I didn't know what to do. I sent a runner to the closest mine, but that was a couple of days away, and so I decided to try the stabilized oxygen, which I had brought along just to purify water with, and it cured the malaria so fast that it was amazing. And so from there I brought it home and worked on it until I was able to figure out what it was really doing and why it was curing the malaria. And from that I was able to figure out how to improve it. And that's the basics of it. When I learned to add the activator to it, and the activator is able to create chlorine dioxide maybe 100 times more than without the activator. And the chlorine dioxide is a real super, super oxidizer. It's 100 times more powerful than oxygen to oxidize things with. And so there really is no oxygen in the stabilized oxygen or MMS. There's really no oxygen that's useful to the body. There's oxygen in there, but it's a discharged oxygen. The body can't use it. But what it is chlorine dioxide is the real oxidizer in it. And it's powerful, and it's used throughout the world to kill pathogens in water. And it's selective for the pathogens. It can go, you put it into water, and it will go in and just kill the pathogens in there, and it won't make a lot of mixtures like chlorine will. Chlorine will make a lot of mixtures that are poisonous or carcinogenic, but chlorine dioxide doesn't do that. It just selectively goes in and kills the pathogens, and then it
deteriorates into table salt, and it leaves no residue. And consequently, there's no side effects, because when it goes into your body, it kills the pathogens, the bad guys, all of them. And then it just deteriorates into a tiny, tiny amount of table salt, not enough to count. And there's a little bit of oxygen, but it's not oxygen that the body can use. So the oxygen just goes into the water of the body and becomes part of the water. So there's absolutely no residue left from it at all. And it only lasts in your body for about 2 hours, and then it's gone. So there's no buildup, can't build up ever. But when it's there, it's tremendously powerful, more powerful than anything else that's ever been put in the body for killing pathogen or anything. I don't care how poisonous the poisons that they use, nothing comes close to being as powerful as chlorine dioxide is in the body.
To your knowledge, before this procedure that you've developed, had a way or method of entering chlorine dioxide into the body been developed?
Well, you know, there are several companies that have been making chlorine dioxide and using it in the body for minor things. One company uses it to clean your breath, and another company down in Mexico uses it on one particular disease, but they never tried it on anything else, I guess. So, and they'd been using it for years. I didn't know about it, of course, until after I got into this. So they still have it down there, and they still use it, but they have no idea what all the things that they could be using it for and could have used it for, and hopefully they'll see what we're doing and start using it more widely. But no, there's nobody else that's been, other than those, there's nobody else that's been using it. It's been used, of course, as stabilized oxygen. And for 80 years, people have been using it, buying it in health food stores and buying it as stabilized oxygen. Never has had any oxygen that the body could use, but it had a tiny amount of chlorine dioxide, not much, but just a little, and that was a beneficial part that people were using. They didn't know that was it, but that's what it was. And so for 80 years, it was used by a lot of people, claiming a lot of benefits, and it helped a little bit. Mm-hmm. But when I added the vinegar to it, and then finally the lemon juice, that's when it really started creating a lot of chlorine dioxide. And I mean, when I say a lot, up in some cases as much as 1,000 times more than it was when they were using it as stabilized oxygen.
Let's talk about the activator. We're using vinegar, but I understand from someone who, for example, has Lyme disease, that vinegar in that case may not be that effective, in fact, because of candida. So what's the best approach for someone in that situation?
Vinegar is effective in that it really does create the chlorine dioxide, but you're right. Vinegar is something that feeds the candida. And the clinic in Tijuana, who uses a large clinic down there, uses it with everybody, uses the MMS with everybody who walks through the door. And they found that they were using vinegar, and they found that people got better and better and better, and then they started getting worse and worse. And they found that the vinegar was actually feeding the candida. And so the candida likes any kind of material that is
fermented,
that's it. Mm-hmm. For any kind of fermented product feeds candida, and vinegar does it. So they switched to lemon juice, and then they didn't have any problem.
Oh.
As soon as they switched to the lemon juice, and lemon juice is just as effective, and of course I personally like the citric acid best, because we got just a teeny bit better results, I think, with its citric acid solution. So and it's in the book how to use it. You buy the citric acid in a powdered form, and then you just make a 10% solution, and it's real easy. You just use a tablespoon of citric acid and then 9 tablespoons of water, and then you have a 10% solution, and then you use that instead of the lemon juice. And it's, lemon juice has all kinds of things in it, and probably those things are good for health and all that, but if you're using citric acid, you have something that's absolutely pure. There's nothing else in it. And so you know that you're getting citric acid, you know that you're getting citric acid and MMS and nothing else. And so I kind of go for the citric acid, but I don't know that it matters a whole lot. Lots of people use lemon juice.
You mentioned that you began this with treating malaria. Malaria seems to be something somewhat foreign, and it's somewhat removed to the extent that it doesn't apply to us here in the United States. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what malaria is, what's involved, and because I know you've treated a lot of people successfully with it, but I also would like the listener to kind of understand and appreciate how what is treated in that situation in malaria can also be applicable to them in their easy chairs here in Middle America. After these messages, we'll discuss how the MMS protocol proved itself to be a malaria conqueror when Talk for Food returns with Jim Humble on webtalkradio.net. Stay with us.
We come in all shapes and sizes, but for all our apparent differences, we share an important oneness.
I am my body,
not.
Now your child can discover the oneness behind human diversity with I Am My Body, Not from Philos Books. This progressive book written by Adam Abraham helps parents and teachers introduce some of the most basic human concepts and questions. Celebrate the body and the spirit with I Am My Body, Not. Order now, just $19.95 plus shipping and handling.
Talk for Food is pleased to welcome Nature's Body Beautiful, the original clay cosmeceutical company, and the home of therapeutic living clay, the world's finest calcium bentonite clay. You can find them at naturesbodybeautiful.com or give them a call at 1-800-915-CLAY. That's 1-800-915-2529. Thank you for tuning in to Talk for Food on webtalkradio.net. This is Adam Abraham, and I'm here with my guest, Jim Humble, author of Breakthrough, the Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, and we're talking about malaria.
Of course, malaria is the biggest killer of mankind ever. It's killed more people than any other disease and any other thing, period. And it 500 million people get malaria every year in Africa and Asia and in South America and New Zealand, Australia. And so there's a lot of people, and malaria is the biggest cause of poverty in the world because people can't work when they have malaria. And so it just turned out that this stuff is more effective against malaria than almost anything. And when you treat a person with malaria properly, when you treat them, I give them 2 doses, 1 dose, wait an hour and give them another dose. And it takes like 4 hours for them to be completely well. I mean, they go from totally sick. Malaria has terrible, I mean, you probably know about the fever. People who have malaria have fever, and they also have chills, and they're shivering, and they have pains throughout their body, and they have, they're usually nauseous, they're usually throwing up, they usually have pains in their joints and pains in their muscles, and they usually have diarrhea. I mean, they're just sick from one end to the other. And yet, when you give them MMS, and it, in 4 hours, they go completely well. They no longer have any of the symptoms. They're a little weak from the disease, but they're well. And they get up out of bed, and they put their clothes on, and they go home. And it's quite fun in Africa because when you treat them, people just get well, and it's just so gratifying to see people get well so fast.
So the main thing that is associated with malaria or cause, is it parasitic?
Yes, malaria is caused by a parasite. It the main damage is it gets into the blood, red blood cells, and it also gets into the liver. So it does a lot of damage immediately in the liver and in the red blood cells. But of course, that causes all kinds of poison. But in the poison that the malaria parasite creates is what causes the fever and the pains and the aching and the throwing up and all of that that goes with it.
Oh, I see. So one is the parasite, but it is actually the waste of the parasite which is poisoning the host. Is that correct?
That's a major thing in almost all diseases, but that's a major thing. And what happens, of course, with the chlorine dioxide is not only does it kill the parasite, but it neutralizes the poison that the parasite has been generating. So when I say neutralizes it, you might want to say oxidizes. It actually oxidizes the poison. And so with the parasite being dead and the poison being oxidized, there's nothing left to keep the person sick.
Well, a number of people have expressed some concerns, and not in a negative way at all, but some concerns about the potential toxic shock while the poisons are being killed off.
That is true in a lot of these other things. One very true in malaria. Malaria just seems to be it's gone. You treat it, and a few hours later, it's gone, and you don't have any toxic shock or anything like that. But a lot of other diseases that we have here in America, it happens all the time on almost everything. You have a heavy load of bacteria in the body, and you put this stuff in to kill it, and it will kill a lot of the bacteria. But if you put too much in, it'll make you nauseous. And if you put too much more in, it'll give you diarrhea. And if you put a lot more, and you put more in, it'll make you throw up. But there are times when the body needs to clean itself out with diarrhea. There are times, I don't care how much you give the body or how little you give it, you're going to get diarrhea because the colon needs to be cleaned out, and the body knows it needs to be cleaned out. So that's something that I really didn't expect at first. But the fact is that it almost seems to know when it needs to clean the colon out. So it'll give you diarrhea if you need it, for the most part. And if there's some terrible biology or something that it don't want to go down through your digestive system, you'll throw it up. And the body seems to know when it needs to throw it up as opposed to when it needs to let it go on through and out the digestive system. So it's pretty good that way. But you can avoid being too sick and too nauseous by taking smaller doses to begin with. I've seen some people who have Lyme disease and they're very, very, very sick and they're very sensitive to almost anything. You know, they need to start out at maybe even a half a drop and take it, and start increasing from there, and then go to a drop, and then maybe two drops, and then three drops. And if you don't take too much, you probably won't get really violently ill. And you might not even get nauseous. But if you need to have diarrhea, you're going to get diarrhea because the body says, I need to clean the colon out, and now I got the chance. The immune system says, now I got the chance to clean all this crap out of the colon, I'm going to do it. And so it does it. So a lot of times, but I'll tell you, any kind of diarrhea, if you're taking this stuff, if you're taking the MMS, any kind of diarrhea is a good indicator. It's an indicator that something is happening in your body and it's getting cleaned out. And as soon as it goes away, you keep taking the same amount and it'll go away in a day or two at most, and you'll feel better after it when it goes away. But it might take a day to clean it, Generally, it don't take more than a day to clean out the colon, but once in a while, it'll take 2 days to clean it out. But it'll clean it out pretty good, and then it quits.
I can attest to that. I've done it so far for about 10 days, and in those 10 days, I've gotten to the threshold of feeling queasy, not even nauseous necessarily. Every day, I've been able to feel that it is working. But one of those particular days, I had a totally different taste. Normally, I don't taste the chlorine dioxide is negligible. I am aware of it, but it's very subtle. But this one day, I had the taste of it had more bite to it as it was going down, and I thought maybe it was just more vinegar than it should have been or something. But it was different. But on that particular day, within, I'd say, an hour or so later, I was, first throwing up and then second diarrhea. I mean, it was sudden. I mean, I had a few moments noticed, you know, but nonetheless, it was still, this was going on, you know, this is what the body needed to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's usually the way it happens. It's usually pretty doggone sudden. The body just all of a sudden says, yikes, I got to get rid of this, and pow, it does. It's usually pretty fast.
Well, it seems to me then it would be wise for us in looking at this to really have a different take on throwing up and on diarrhea, because the main inclination is to avoid doing that at all costs, or to resist doing it, you know, having that experience at all costs. And if we really understand that this is not, in this particular case and situation, a bad thing, it's not that we're going to court it per se, but at least maybe we won't be spending so much energy trying to avoid it.
Yeah, that's true. Just remember that both throwing up, and whether you believe it or not, both throwing up and diarrhea are good indicators that something in your body is really doing something to get rid of something it really needs to get rid of.
So we've started to kind of bridge the gap, starting with looking at what malaria is and what's involved in there. But let's bring this closer to home and look at some of the conditions, medical conditions or physiological conditions that you have seen MMS address very effectively, somewhat effectively, or whatever. I mean, just throw some things out. Well, I had talked to someone today about Alzheimer's. Whether there's a connection or not, what comes up for you when we say Alzheimer's?
So far, I haven't had any experience with Alzheimer's at all. I don't know. Nobody has really said, okay, I'm going to take it. I've got Alzheimer's and I'm going to take it. Nor have they said, I'm going to go give it to my daddy or my mother or something. That's something I don't know about. But I think that we're going to have some belief. I think it's going to be some results there because I know another group who has did some testing, and they have found that the Alzheimer's brains have a lot of spirochetes in them, and that's the same thing basically that causes Lyme disease. And so I'm believing that in the long run we're going to be able to kill those spirochetes off and get both Alzheimer's and Lyme. That's my hope.
Okay. What about diabetes?
Diabetes, I've had quite a few people call me up and said, hey, I took that for a week or 2 weeks and my diabetes is gone. So that's working pretty good. I don't know that it works for everybody, but it's worked for a lot of people.
You're tuned in to Talk for Food with Adam Abraham on webtalkradio.net. My guest is Jim Humble, author of Breakthrough, the Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, and the developer of an important natural protocol for ridding the human body of pathogens. One of the spin-offs or effects of extreme cases and senses of diabetes would be peripheral neuropathy. Is that something that would be impacted by this? I'm aware of some other things, but that's nerve damage, actually, is what that is.
Yeah, but I think it's nerve damage by the those little viruses that they haven't recognized yet, and I'm not sure that it won't repair itself once you kill them off.
Once you kill them off, because the body does have a remarkable ability to return to its state of normalcy once you take away the harmful presence, whatever it is.
That's right. It's amazing what it will repair once you get those bad guys out of there.
So what about a lot of people are sitting around and walking around not even thinking of themselves as being toxic, but they have had years of vaccinations or amalgams, you know, from mercury. They've got antibiotics, the deposits in there. I'm thinking in terms of just cleaning up their bodies from the junk that their doctors have put in for years without them, you know, and thinking that it was helping them.
Well, I think it cleans a lot of that stuff out. I don't know, we don't have any long-term tests or long-term ability to say it, but we've done tests like we tested people for heavy metals, and then we give them a week of the MMS, taking the MMS at fairly good doses, and then we tested them again for heavy metals, and the heavy metals are gone. So you got to, so you know that the heavy metals were oxidized, and there's a lot of other things. Of course, the most of the damage done by vaccinations, or a lot of the damage done by vaccinations, I should say, was caused by mercury that they used in the vaccination. So this stuff oxidizes the mercury. So when the mercury is oxidized, that just sort of neutralizes it, and it just washes out of the body. Mm. And the other heavy metals as well. And a lot of the other poisons, any poison that is below the pH of the body is likely to be oxidized by the chlorine dioxide. And that's how the chlorine dioxide recognizes the poisons, and how it recognizes the pathogens. Pathogens have a skin that has got a lower pH than the body, and also they have nucleic acid, and the chlorine dioxide recognizes both of those, the nucleic acid and the lower pH. So that's the reason why, basically, it's effective against all of those different items. I don't know, though, that it's going to get everything, but normally a person who is in pretty good shape can take a large dose of MMS, and it won't make them sick, and they won't even notice that they've taken it. They can take a really big dose, and it won't do anything to them at all.
Oh.
But if they're a little sick, it's going to get them.
I see. Yeah, because you mentioned at one point that if, let's say that the red blood cells carrying the chlorine dioxide didn't encounter any pathogens, that eventually it would still break down into hypochlorous acid?
Well, actually, it will break down into salt mostly, and oxygen, discharged oxygen, so it's not anything that the body can use. And there, sometimes it does break down into a hypochlorous acid through several different processes. It will break down into a hypochlorous acid, and that's the acid that the body really, really needs. The immune system really uses hypochlorous acid for all kinds of different things. So if it happens to break down into a little bit of hypochlorous acid, then the immune system grabs it right away and takes it off to do to kill some other things with it. So, but in that hypochlorous acid, of course, then breaks down into a non-effective neutral material. So there, no matter which way it goes, there is no residue left from it. Mm-hmm. in the long run.
And certainly nothing harmful.
That's right, mm-hmm. And absolutely nothing harmful. And there's just no side effect.
Autism. Here's another condition where we've got, in this case, many times as children, although some of them grow into being adults, who are neurologically impacted and perceptually seemed to be in a different world. But it's seeming like this may be another place where there could be some positive benefit.
I think so. We've already had some good results along those lines. One of the things about autism is they have such a huge load of bacteria, harmful bacteria, all kinds of different harmful bacteria. I mean, you name a harmful bacteria and they probably have it. Mm-hmm. And of course, this starts killing those harmful bacteria off. But I can tell you about one child I know right here in Mexico that was autistic all of his life, and he's 11 years old now, and started giving him the MMS about 2 months ago, and after he took it about a month, he started noticing that he was being a lot more friendly, and his mother noticed that he was being a lot more lovable, and that he was getting along with her, and he was doing, it was almost impossible to get him to do anything or any of his chores, and all of a sudden, he's starting to do his chores, and all of a sudden, he's no longer fighting with the other kids. He's starting to get along with them, and he's starting to play with them. When he never played with them before, he just fought with them a little bit and went off on his own, but then he's starting to play with them and starting to get along, and he's doing really... He's back to a normal kid, maybe even better than a normal kid. But he's just now starting to go to school. He's just starting this week, I guess, back to school. So she's really anxious to see what kind of grades he's going to start getting.
Oh, my goodness. And yet this was a longer-term process. This wasn't something where you start seeing results instantly, but... yet a month is still a very short period of time when you consider that he's been this way for years.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah, and it was longer than a month. It was a month before they noticed some improvement, but then the improvement continued. So
I see.
It's turned out pretty darn good.
All right, so let's talk about some of the bigger ones like cancer, and what have you seen relative to MMS in that area?
Well, As far as in skin cancer, like melanoma, which is, you know, the bad skin cancer, it kills a lot of people, it seems to be totally effective against melanoma. I mean, it's like I've seen one woman who had a cancer down in the front of her whole body. The doctor had given her, like, he said, well, you can't live more than another 6 weeks, he told her. And so she got dressed up and came over to the health food store, and I happened to be sitting in the health food store, in one of those health food stores where they have a booth, and I was sitting in there talking to somebody, and I said, cancer, and she walked over and she said, I heard you say that, and she said, and so I started telling her about the MMS, and this was a few years ago, and she started taking it. And about a month later, it was down to the size of a dollar. I mean, it was from the size of 4 inches wide and 15 inches long on the front of her body. It was down to the size of a dollar in a month, and in a couple of more weeks, and that dollar size was gone. Mm. And then there was a guy next door to me who had a little melanoma on his wrist, a little teeny one. And he went to the doctor to check it out, to make sure he knew what it was, and the doctor verified it was melanoma. And he took 15 drops for about 4 days in a row, and he didn't notice anything. And he heard me say that if it ain't going away, he ain't taking enough. So he took 30 drops, and in 3 days it was gone. He took 30 drops. That's all he did, 30 drops once a day. Now, I prefer to take less drops and more times. I would prefer to take maybe 8 drops 4 or 5 times and 30 drops all at once. But anyhow, he did that, and it just created a ring and made a white ring around it, and it made a crust. And the crust just fell off, and there was nothing but pink skin left. A number of other melanomas have gone just as fast. One guy had one on his forehead It was about the size of a 50-cent piece, and it was gone in less than a week. It's pretty fast on melanoma. And the other types of cancer works, too. And it's hard to say how well it's going to work and how well it ain't, because it's always going to depend upon how far along the cancer is and how big it is and how long it's been there and all of those things. But
sure.
I also recommend that a person get some of the Indian herb from the lady over in Texas, and because that stuff has been so effective. She must have 1,000 letters of people who have, and she's been selling it. Her and her father have been selling for the last 70 years, and they must have more than 1,000 letters of people who have been cured of different kinds of cancer, including leukemia and all that. But my stuff works good on leukemia and those things, too. So I say my stuff, MMS.
You're listening to Talk for Food, and I'm your host, Adam Abraham. My guest is Jim Humble, author of Breakthrough, the Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, who perfected this safe, elegant, and very effective chemistry for pathogen removal that's become known as MMS, Miracle Mineral Supplement. We'll return after these messages on webtalkradio.net. Stay with us. Global Light Network brings you an entire line of products for conscious living that directly impact your well-being. This means products that intelligently replenish critical nutritional components, such as magnesium and zinc in ionic form. Products that neutralize deuterium and lower the specific gravity for better hydration of your drinking water. Or how about products that raise your body's pH and, via magnetism, selectively removes bacteria, viruses, parasites, and toxins while leaving healthy cells intact. If you already know why these are important to your well-being, then you'll want to know Global Light Network. If you don't know why it's important, ask someone who does. Then point your browser to globallight.net or call us toll-free at 1-888-236-2108. The following Living Clay Factoid is brought to you by Nature's Body Beautiful. Visit us at naturesbodybeautiful.com. Calcium bentonite clay is particularly rich in certain diastases and enzymes. Some of these diastases, the oxidases, have the power of fixing free oxygen, which explains the purifying and enriching action of clay in the blood. Looks like clay is really a friend to our well-being. We begin our final segment of this edition of Talk for Food on webtalkradio.net. My guest is Jim Humble, author of Breakthrough, the Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, which describes how he developed MMS and the chemistry that makes it work. The MMS protocol involves the safe precipitation of the chemical compound chlorine dioxide, a major oxidizer which, in micro amounts, can remove huge numbers of pathogens, toxins, viruses, harmful bacteria, and parasites from the body while leaving all that is healthy intact. This has quality of life implications for every human being, pet, and animal. This information is provided strictly for your personal edification. Now, when you talk in terms of the dosages, let's say a person is going to take that 30, for whatever reason, is going to take that big dose. Are they using the exact same amount of water all the time? I mean, not water, but you know, the carrier, not the activator, but the... Do they use more of the juice or the water, or do they put those 30 drops in the same half a cup of water?
Right? Well, generally they do, but actually it would be a good idea to add more water. If you use 30 drops, I'd fill that glass all the way to the top.
I would think so, too. It would be potent regardless, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be potent. I don't normally recommend that anybody go to 30 drops. some people do. I just got an email from a gal who decided that she has Lyme disease, and she said, "Oh, I'm just," and I say you start out with Lyme disease with one drop, right? Well, she says, "I'm going to go 15 because I'm really going to hit this," and it hit her so bad. I mean, I can't believe it. She was going to the toilet and throwing up, and she was, and I say, "Well, you can overcome nausea with a glass of water and vitamin C. If you take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C in a glass of water, it'll normally knock the nausea out." But she couldn't even drink it because she was throwing up so bad. So she decided she was going to drop back down to one drop a day. So that was a mistake, but most people don't make that mistake, hopefully.
So essentially, if a person can take something and almost get rid of it, say, with 15 drops, but instead decided to take 5 drops, would it eventually go away anyway, or do you really sometimes need to take send a larger army in, like, all at once?
Well, you're asking me a question that I'm not sure of. I think if you took 5 drops every day for long enough, it would eventually get it. I think it would.
Okay.
Maybe not. Maybe there are certain cases where you're just going to have to go ahead and take the 15 drops or the 20 mm-hmm. drops. Normally I stop at 18 drops. At 15 drops, I consider a therapeutic dose. You get almost anything, but sometimes you may have to go a little heavier. But if you go 5 drops every day for quite a while, it will probably handle it. Most likely, it's going to go in there. The only case would be where it wouldn't would be where maybe there's more bacteria growing each day than you're killing each day. So you've got to be killing enough bacteria each day that you're getting more than it's growing. All you have to do is be getting a little teeny bit more than what is, growing each day, so that you make it less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 drops or 6 drops, I would think ought to do that. But there might be special cases when you just gotta step in there and take a larger dose.
Here's a situation. I have a friend who has ovarian cancer and has had chemotherapy, and as a result of the chemotherapy regimes, the numbers that she and her doctor have been looking at, to determine, their progress, instead of going down, have steadily gone up, to the extent now that they're triple what they, what they had hoped that they were supposed to be. How would a person who either has been on chemotherapy or is sometimes straddling the line, how would that work for them, or how might it work?
Well, if it would be possible, a person ought to come to the clinic down here, and because the doctor down here is really good at handling people who have had cancer and been treated. Of course, a lot of people come down here and they've been butchered by doctors and radiated and chemotherapy until there isn't anything we can do for them down here. But if you just got a person like you're talking and they want to start doing something different, they could get on the MMS, and the MMS, I would, they just want to get take as much as they can. They want to see, they just want to keep increasing it, and probably 3, 4, 5 times a day. Instead of taking it all at once, they want to take it over the day. And if you can find out, if you can get the doctor to tell you whether you're improving or not, that would even be better. But a lot of times you can tell right off, because you start taking the MMS for a day or two and some of the pain goes away, Mm-hmm. A lot of times things like that happen right away and you can tell whether you're improving or not, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes you don't know whether you're improving. So the thing that you do is you just take as much as you can Mm-hmm. and keep at it. it will kill a lot of the cancer. I don't know how much because I haven't had, you know, I've had a lot of people who gotten well from cancer after taking the MMS, but not a lot of people who've been radiated and treated with a lot of radiation or chemotherapy. Haven't had a lot of people because most of those people would rather die than try something else. I hate to say it, but that's generally the case.
It's a sad fact. A couple people have asked, one about DMSO and also about MSM.
Well, for a while, that's the reason why I put a warning on my bottle. I thought that it might be dangerous to take the two together, the MMS and the DMSO. But I finally decided I had to prove it one way or another, and so I proved it, and it's not dangerous. So I've taken huge doses of MMS and DMSO together, and I've taken them every way you can think of them. I put them on the outside of my body and the inside and every other direction, and there don't seem to be any problem with it. However, I would not advise anybody else taking a big dose to begin with. You start off with little teeny doses, and then you increase it slowly. And I think it may be, and there's no proof of this yet, but I think it may be the DMSO may carry the MMS, the chlorine dioxide. It may carry it a little bit further into your body, a little bit deeper than it would go ordinarily, because DMSO will go through anything. It goes through all the membranes in your body. It goes through, it penetrates anything. And so it'll penetrate anything in your body, and it usually carries stuff that's with it. It carries the stuff with it. So it'll carry, and not only that, but it will go into a cell and clean up the junk that's in that cell and carry it out. And if you're having a stroke, you should take a spoonful of DMSO every 15 minutes. And if you do that, generally, it will penetrate the blood-brain barrier. It'll go in there, and it will, the blood clot that's causing the stroke. So normally you can eliminate a stroke by taking it for 2 or 3 hours every 15 minutes.
Okay, and MSM is something, is like a subset of DMSO.
Yeah, right, and it's pretty good stuff, and there's no liability to take in MSM along with the MMS. There's no problem there either, so you can take them together without any problem.
Okay, now getting back to stroke for a second, is MMS in directly effective as a tool to address a stroke situation?
I don't think so.
Okay.
If you're having a stroke and you can tell you're having a stroke, certainly can, then if you have the DMSO, that's what you want to take. I don't think the MMS is going to help you much in that case.
Where would you like to see this phenomenon go? How would you like to see if let's look ahead for, you know, a year or 5 years down the road, and what are the implications of this in your vision of things?
Well, I think that if possible, it should be on, you know, in everybody's medicine cabinet, and everybody should be educated in how to use it and when to use it. But I think that you need to take like 6 drops every day for the rest of your life, because it keeps the immune system tuned up to its highest level. And if you're an older person, you won't get pneumonia, and you won't get flu, and you won't get colds and those kind of things. When I say you won't get them, they come along, your body recognizes them, your body turns on the fever and that sort of thing, but it's gone in a day. It's gone in 24 hours, and a cold is usually gone in an hour. You can turn on a cold completely and be blowing your nose and everything else, and it's all gone in an hour, because the germs show up, the body recognizes them, the body turns on the thing that it thinks it needs, and then, but the germs are no longer there, and so the body no longer sees a necessity to remain sick, so it's back off again. So normally flu and pneumonia and any number of those other things that get a lot of the older people are just last for a day or two, and that's it, and they're not even bad. I've seen many cases. I lived in a small town, and there was lots of flu and that sort of thing come through, and the people who weren't taking the MMS were sick like 3 weeks, and the people who were taking it were sick like 24 hours. So it was a big difference in the way they handled it, and I don't think it wouldn't get an older person. He wouldn't have any trouble with it.
What about the allergy season and people who are so prone to hay fever and stuff like that?
Mostly handles that. If they'll just gargle with it, I don't know. You think it's all just caused by allergy, and you don't think there's any germs or bacteria involved, but must be, because most people who have a real bad allergy reaction, if they'll just gargle with this stuff, it's gone in a couple of hours. So for the most part, allergies are handled that way.
The applications are probably many more than we've. I mean, it's just a matter of stopping and taking just a look at life, you know, and reality, and just start seeing, okay, where the crossing points are.
Just eliminating the allergy medicine is going to eliminate millions of dollars or billions of dollars in revenue there.
We certainly need an educated and informed public. We also need people who are not afraid to actually follow an idea to its natural and intelligent conclusion, like you've done. You know, the medical industry may not be motivated to adopt this, but I promise you, the people who are actually experiencing these diseases are certainly motivated to get rid of them.
Yes.
So I believe there's definitely going to be an audience and an interest, even if it's to a point of attempting to refute it. If anyone takes the time to even try to refute this, they will have to follow it to conclusion, only to find out that it's not going to be refuted, that it's really viable.
Well, in the new book that I've that's just coming out, that I'm just having printed, and also the e-books that are on my website now, I have a chapter in there by Dr. Hasselink, who spent thousands of hours working on getting all of the literature that's associated with chlorine dioxide in the human body. And it just happens that there was quite a bit of literature available from different areas, and he got it all put together. And I'll tell you, there isn't any scientist or there isn't anybody anywhere that's going to be able to refute anything that he said. He's got the literature, and the proof is all there, and tests that's been done already throughout the society for the last 50 years, and he's just put it all together in one spot, and they just say anybody can refute it. I mean, that it's there.
Where should we direct people to get your book?
MiracleMineral.org.
Okay.
www.miraclemineral.org. And everybody should have that book. I mean, every household should have it. I mean, there's enough data in there that tells you how to use the stuff for all kinds of things.
Boy, where did the time go? I want to thank Jim Humble for joining us on Talk for Food, for developing the MMS protocol and making it public. His book is Breakthrough, the Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, and it is available in two parts as a download and hard copy at miraclemineral.org. The actual MMS product is available at globallight.net. Now, don't take our word that MMS will help you or someone you love. You do the homework. There's plenty of information out there. Then take your own word. It's always the last one for you. I hope this hour proves meaningful to you or someone you love. Tune in next week for the next edition of Talk for Food on webtalkradio.net. Until then, this is Adam Abraham, and I'm out of here. Talk for Food is a Philos Media Works production.